Today, I'm going to, the title to my sermon is The Power of the Cross and Resurrection. And yeah, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Father, to have your way here this day and just pour yourself through me, Lord. Lord, I can say nothing that will help anybody, but your words are spirit and their life. And Father, I just ask you to just pour yourself through me today. Cause me to say those things that you would have me to say and just minister to hearts here. That everyone would go out of here even feeling encouraged and feeling strengthened, Father, knowing of the great, great sacrifice that you made on Calvary for them. And Father, I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I could talk to you a lot about what went on about the cross and what happened up till the time when they crucified Jesus. But I just want to tell you that I know that Scripture says that he was beaten beyond recognition. In the Old Testament, it said his vestige was worse than that of any man. So even these movies that you've seen, they don't even begin to describe how much he suffered and how bad he was beaten and how bad he was mistreated. I mean, they look bad in the movies, but I got news for you. It was worse than anything they could depict. And yet, when he was hanging on the cross, as he was hanging on the cross, he made a couple of really profound statements. And one of the profound statements that he made was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that any time that Jesus ever prayed, the Father always answered. And his petitions, no matter what he said, because he was the Word of God incarnate in flesh. So when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, guess what the Father did? He forgave them, and he forgave you. Now, I'm going to start off reading to you out of John 19, 29 through 30, just a couple verses here, and I'm going to skip on a few different verses. And this is when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and it was after he had already said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says here, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And you know, when he said, it is finished, I believe it was finished. And you know, I took a good look at that word, it is finished there. And I'm going to read to you what the meaning of that word finished there means. In the Greek, it has the meaning of to complete, to execute, to conclude, to discharge a debt. To discharge a debt. Wow, I love that. And to make an end, to finish, and it means to overpay. To overpay. So not only was your debt discharged, but it was overpaid. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. If I owe money on my house and I go to the bank and I owe them $10,000 and I say, you know what, you folks have been so nice to me, I'm going to give you $15,000. You think they're going to say, oh, no, 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 don't do that. You know what, that banker is going to be smiling ear to ear and say, right on, brother, come back again sometime. And I got news for you. Jesus overpaid. He overpaid. You have no debts anymore as far as Christ is concerned. You have no debts. You're debt free. You say, but Oscar, I don't feel debt free because last night I said something I shouldn't have. I done something I shouldn't have. I don't care. As if you confess your faults before him or confess your sins before him, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and to forgive you. You know, We used to sing this song, and we haven't sang it in a while. It says, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. And I don't care how hard you try, or how good you try to be, or how nice you are to other folks, you could never have paid the debt that he paid on Calvary. Because he was the Lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. He did not sin. And yet, he took on all of our sins. He took on all of our burdens. He took on everything that had to do with us. And years ago, the Lord gave me a song, and I'm going to just share the words with you. I'm not going to sing it. I'll spare you that. And the name of the song was, He Paid It All. And the words that he gave me was, he paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all, what more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known, when he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that we might live. And this life is yours today. If you'll trust him and obey, he paid it all so that you might live. You notice I said we before, but he paid it all so that you might live. And you know, the people out there in the world, they don't really understand, and they try to disannul the things that Jesus did, and they're constantly trying to take what religious freedoms that we have away from us. And Christians need to quit letting them do that, to be honest with you. We need to some of these politicians who are constantly trying to take our religious rights away from us and everything, we need to get them guys out of office and let them know, if you do that, we're not going to vote for you. And in 1 Corinthians 1:18 it says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us which have been saved, it is the power of God. And you know, had Jesus not went to the cross, there would be no salvation. But you know, I'm going to tell you something else. Had he not rose 3 days later, there would be no power in what the cross did. But he rose from the grave 3 days later. And what a tremendous story that is. In Colossians 1:20 through 22, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Do you realize he reconciled all things? You say, but Oscar, it looks like there's a lot of turmoil out there, and it don't look very reconciled. That's because they haven't come to the realization of it yet. And I'm going to tell you what. He's given to you all, as being Christians, the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. And the word is this: God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. And you know what? That's what you need to start telling people out in the world. You've been forgiven. You're debt-free as far as God's concerned. He paid that debt he didn't owe, and you owed that debt you couldn't pay. But thank God he paid it for you. And he not only paid it, but he paid it way beyond what he had to. And praise God for that. And you sometimes who were alienated in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and unreprovable in his sight. Praise God. I'm telling you what, that should make you happy. You know, Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And you know, we know that the tomb was empty. We've heard the stories about Mary Magdalene and different ones going to the tomb and seeing the stone rolled away and it was empty. And they begin to say to the person standing by, you know, where have you taken him, you know, and all this and that. And his reply was, why seek ye the living among the dead? And you know, a lot of people still got Jesus hanging on the cross. He ain't hanging on the cross no more. He's resurrected. He's that life-giving spirit that dwells in each one of us, you know. In Luke 24:8, it says, for the one of them whose name was Cleopas, that meaning his name, I'm going to tell you the meaning of his name. Cleopas, there came a time when the disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus. There was a couple of them. There was two of them. And in Luke 24:18, it doesn't tell you the name of the other disciple. It tells you only the name of one, Cleopas. And you don't really see Cleopas hardly anywhere else in Scripture. And, you know, I took a look at Cleopas and I was thinking, okay, what does Cleopas's name mean? Jesus decided to reveal himself to Cleopas and another man. And the other man was probably Peter. I believe it was Peter. But Cleopas's name means glory of the Father. He was going to reveal himself as the glory of the Father to somebody. That's why they had Cleopas's name in there. You know, and as they walked along the road, they were talking about all of the affairs and that Jesus had been crucified and this and that. And all of a sudden, this man comes up and starts walking along with them. And they didn't recognize him. And I got news for you. A lot of Christians, if Jesus come up and slap you upside the head, you probably wouldn't recognize him. Because if you don't spend intimate time with him and you don't seek his face, you won't know him when you see him anyway. And I'm going to tell you, you see him every day in your brothers and in your sisters and the body of Christ. But anyway, they were walking along with him. And he says, what's all this you're talking about? You know, and God likes to kind of play games with you a little bit. He knows what he's going to tell you, but he kind of wants to see where you're at, wants you to realize where you're at. He knows where you're at. And he kind of said to him, well, what's all this you're talking about? They said, oh, how is it you're in Israel and you don't know about them taking Jesus and crucifying him? And he was a great prophet, and he did mighty works and all this, and how is it you don't know that? And he began to say to them, oh, slow of heart. In other words, he's saying, oh, you dummies, you big dummies. Haven't you come to the realization yet? You're still saying I was just some prophet that got killed. And he began to start expounding to them all the way through the scriptures. All of the scriptures concerning him and concerning his death and how he would die and be resurrected on the third day and so on and so forth. And buddy, if anybody knew the scriptures, he did, because he inspired them all. And guess what? They still didn't say, oh, that's Jesus. I know it's Jesus. They still didn't recognize him. And I got news for you. If he'd go into a lot of churches today, people wouldn't recognize him. They wouldn't recognize him. And so they get to the end of their journey, and he invites them in. They invite him in to have dinner with them. And we're going to have a little communion here in a few minutes. And he takes bread, and he breaks it and blesses it. And the minute that he does that, their eyes are opened and they realize who it is. Then he vanishes out of their sight. Then they say to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us? And I got news for you, folks. When you come to church and you're sitting out there and somebody gets up here and they're preaching the word and they're sharing an anointed word with you and your heart's burning down inside of you, I got news for you. It's not that person up there talking to you. It's Jesus talking out of that person to you. You know, the great mystery that's been hidden from past generations and made clear as daylight today, according to Colossians and the Philips, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, they would have never been able to believe that Jesus was inside of them unless he went away. You know, if somebody's standing in front of you, it's hard to believe they're inside of you too. You can't really believe that. But I'm going to tell you, they went back and they started telling the other disciples, they said, you know, Jesus appeared to us on the road. And he had appeared even to some of the other disciples. Well, Thomas pops up and he says, well, unless I can stick my finger in the nail prints on his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I won't believe. And guess what happened? About that time, Jesus appeared through the wall, standing right there in front of them, said, Thomas, stretch forth your finger, put it in the nail prints, stretch forth your hand and stick it in my side. And what was Thomas's reply? My Lord and my God. I mean, wow, he realized all of a sudden who Jesus really was. My Lord and my God, he says. And I'm going to tell you what, I love that Jesus kept appearing and not appearing. And I mentioned this in the sermon last week. And you know what Jesus was doing? He was playing the little kid game with them. Because they were still babes in Christ, even though he had been teaching them for all the years that they had walked with him. You know, with a little baby, I could go back there to that little baby and I could hide behind the front seat and I could jump out and say, boo. And I could do that a bunch of different times. And after a while, that baby would be looking over the seat thinking I was there, or even if I wasn't there. And when you have little kids, I used to do it with my little kids. They'd be in the baby bed and they'd be crying or something, and you'd stick your head around the corner and you'd go, boo. Then you'd go back around the corner. Then you go, boo. And you go back around the corner. And you keep doing that. They'd laugh and giggle and stuff. You know what you were doing? You was telling them, I'm here, whether you see me or not. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And that's what Jesus was telling his disciples by all of those appearings. You know, there was one time when they were out fishing in the boat. And he's standing on the shore. And I'm telling you, I think he appeared to them in a little bit different forms. Because they didn't recognize him as Jesus of Nazareth. And I think he did that on purpose. So that he was going to let them know, I can appear in a lot of forms. I can appear in people. I can appear in this brother over here, or this sister over here, or whatever. You know, when my presence is there, it's me, you know. And he's standing on the shore there. And he says to him, he says, have you caught any fish out there? They said, well, we've toiled all day long and we can't get nothing. He says, well, put your net down on the other side of the boat. And they put their net down on the other side of the boat, and they catch so many fish that they can't, it's about to break the nets. They pull them up into the boat, and then Peter realizes who it is. And he jumps out of the boat and goes to shore. And guess what? Jesus has already got a fire built, and he's got fish cooking on the grill. He didn't have to count on their fish or nothing else. And you know what? That's the way God's supply and his source is. He don't have to count on you. He is the source. He is the supply. And what did he do? They were scared because they thought, oh, this is a ghost. This is a spirit. This is something. You know, they were a little nervous. He took fish and he ate it because he wanted them to realize he was something they had never seen before. He was a glorified man. He was the last Adam. What was going to happen to them someday, in that his glory was going to be so revealed in a people that limitations would come off. I got news for you. When we grow up fully in Christ, you won't have to open the door you'll be able to walk through the door. You won't have to worry about the wall. You can walk through the wall. But I'm going to tell you what, that's when you've come to the complete fullness of all that He is. And we're going to grow into that, folks. But I want you to know that He has reconciled you. He did a lot of wonderful, beautiful miracles, and He kept appearing to them and appearing to them and appearing to them, so that when He wasn't appearing to them after a while, they would come to the realization that He was there anyway. Because every time they'd say something, He'd appear and say, "Well, I heard what you said. Here's," you know, He'd start telling them what they said. And guess what? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He's inside of you, most of all, the most important place that He dwells. He dwells inside of you. And that's the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations, which He came to reveal, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And, you know, Paul said that he wanted to bring people to the realization of that he might present every man mature in Christ. And that's what God's trying to do. He's trying to grow up the body of Christ. And I don't say trying, He's doing it. He's doing it. And I just want you all to know that even as we take the elements here today, you know, at the Last Supper, you know, Jesus, He broke the bread and He said, "Take this and eat. This is my flesh. It's broken for you." And He took the wine and He said, this is my blood. It's shed for you. And you know, blood, Scripture tells you that the life is in the blood, and His life was in that blood that poured out. And you've been covered with that life. And, you know, as we do communion there, I want you to realize that He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I want you to take thought that that's not just an unleavened piece of bread or just some grape juice, but take thought that that is actually, you're partaking of Christ. And as you eat that, it's a sign that you're partaking of Him. And as you drink that, you're partaking of His life's blood that He poured out for you. And you know, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to have a couple of them come up and we're going to start passing it out. And Sis is going to sing us a song here in a second. But I do want to tell you something else that He did. After the supper was ended, it said that He laid aside His garment on the Last Supper. And He took a linen garment, and Scripture, well, it says He took a linen, took a towel, it says, and actually the actual word for that is linen. He wrapped Himself in linen, and He began to wash their feet. And He told them, He said, "You don't know what I do to you, but you'll know later on." And Peter said, oh, he started seeing all the filth go on Jesus as He was washing the feet. And Peter said, "Lord, you'll never wash my feet." This is the same Peter that told them, "Guys, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God," you know. And Peter said, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." And he said, "Well, not my feet, Lord, but my head, my hands, and everything then." You know, Peter was real exuberant. He said, "You only have need that I wash your feet." And he said, "After you realize what I've done to you, go and do this to other folks." And I'm going to tell you what, in type and shadow what he was doing, he was taking upon himself the filth of their walk. And I'm going to tell you, when you come in contact with people, I don't care how mean they are, how awful they are, whatever, you have the ability spiritually to wash their feet. You have to begin to pray like Jesus prayed, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He said, he told the disciples, "Whatsoever things you bind in heaven will be bound on earth, and whatsoever things you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth." And you know, you have the ability to loose people from some of the situations that they're in. And it's time for the body of Christ to quit pointing a finger of accusation and telling people how bad they are and how big of sinners they are, and start loosing and binding and setting them free. and start proclaiming in the name of the Lord, whether or not you see them free or not, start proclaiming that they're free, because he paid the price. He paid it all. And he not only paid it, but he paid it, overpaid it. He overpaid it. Praise God. Well, if you'll come up, guys, we'll go ahead and we'll pass that out. And Cynthia, if you want to sing your song, we'll go ahead and sing the song. Praise God. If anybody would like prayer when we're done, we'll be glad to pray with you. Praise God. No, I want to take one.
It's more than songs we sing, much more than an emblem on a chain. But it means I am free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood that we shed won't let my sins remain. Upon the cross, my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us love that this world has never known. Oh, what love so divine. A true love you'll never find. So that we might live, love came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. Just for me. Hallelujah. Jesus came and did it just for me. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory, heaven sent, gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. Just for me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Just for me. Just for me. Hallelujah. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody would like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. You know, I'm going to share a poem with you that the Lord gave me years ago, and it goes like this. Rich was he, yet poor he became. For he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare. For he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your hearts, you'll receive peace and harmony. And I tell you what, there's no greater peace than to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless these people. I ask you to just help us all to begin to do that ministry of reconciliation as we go out into the world. Give us that word of reconciliation to begin to set the captives free, to begin to loose those that are in bonds and that just seem to be bound by sin. You dealt with the sin principle, Father. And Lord, you conquered it on Calvary. And there's liberty. There's liberty if people will just receive what you've already done, already accomplished for them. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In that name above all names, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And thank you for what you've done for us. Praise God.